Would you take your Bibles and open to Luke chapter 6? Luke chapter 6 this morning. It's page 862 in the Bible, in the chair back in front of you, if you are choosing to use that here this morning. Luke chapter 6. And I would like us to read, focus in on specifically verses 22 and 23. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. Father in heaven, thank you for this passage of Scripture, these words of our Lord Jesus, as recorded by Luke. And God, I pray that you would use these couple of verses to focus our minds on truth, on you, and on the work that you are doing. Help us, Lord, to submit ourselves under your perfect care. In Jesus' name, amen. Those two verses may seem like a very strange Christmas passage. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Chris, everything was going great until you brought up reviling and excluding and spurning, and that doesn't sound very Christmassy. Well, this passage and using this passage as a foundational text for us this morning is going to accomplish two things. First of all, it's going to help us continue on in our Luke chapter 6 series. We're going to return to this passage in the new year to work through it in its context. But I hope that you will see the connection this morning. Because remember, Jesus' ministry is not a series of disjointed teachings. They are rooted in something. And so, number two, this passage is going to help us in that it mentions joy and blessing and happiness in the same setting. And so I think that you will agree, as I said earlier, that joy is a Christmas theme that we all need a reminder to return to. I remember as a kid, I had what I thought was great joy at Christmas. I remember the thoughts of presents. I remember the difficulty of going to sleep on Christmas Eve. We had our tradition. Our tradition on Christmas was to open presents on Christmas morning, save one. We were able to open a Christmas present on Christmas Eve, and usually that was chosen by our parents. It was either pajamas or soap. Okay. So that kind of, that lost its luster as the years went on. But I remember how hard it was to go to sleep, and then I remember getting up so early and waking up and saying, Mom, Dad, is it time yet? No, go to sleep for another hour. Go to sleep for another hour. Come on, I sat in my bed with anticipation. You think of the wonder of snow. We lived in Connecticut, and when we got snow. But we didn't often get snow. And so the wonder, the anticipation of will it snow? Candy canes, hot chocolate. I still have, we read it to our grandkids, the scratch and sniff smells of Christmas book. And it probably smells like paper and dirty fingers right now. But I think it still smells like an orange and like a peppermint candy cane. And those are wonderful memories. As we get older, as we mature, I'll never forget Tyler's comment from a couple of years ago. As we're opening presents, and he says, so I see this is a practical Christmas now. As he opened jumper cables and an emergency roadside kit and things like that, things that aren't exciting. As we mature, as we get older, we still enjoy the giving of gifts. We still enjoy family, and we love traditions. There's a warmth, and there is some anticipation. But isn't, as adults, isn't it relatively easy to lose the joy of Christmas? In the busyness, the cost, the commercialization of the season. I heard of a comment recently, an adult, a Christian, who said, "I hate Christmas." We lose our joy easily. As we saw from Jesus' teaching last week, life in this sin-cursed world, with its weeping and with its pain and hurt and tears, it has the possibility of snuffing the joy out of life and even Christmas. Verse 22, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil." Now, the conditional phrase here is "on account of the Son of Man." We'll get to that when we return to this. The reality is, though, that life for the believer is going to include some hatred, exclusion, reviling, and spurning. It's easy for many to lose their joy in the midst of that. Even at Christmas, and we might even say especially at Christmas time. And you know, we're not alone. We're actually in very good company. Job wished that he had never been born. David wished to be taken away somewhere where he wouldn't have to face the hurt of reality, Psalm 55. Elijah asked God to take his life. And even Paul said that he despaired of life itself. Now, if these men lost their joyfulness, I think it's a valid question to ask. Have you lost your joy this Christmas season? Jesus says here in verse 23, rejoice, that word rejoice is rooted in the word joy. Rejoice, show your joy again and again, in that day, and leap for joy. Jesus' teaching is implying something here. He's implying that we anchor our joy in something which is lasting. Now think about this for just a minute. How often is it that we anchor our joy in that which is fleeting? I think it's especially true around the holiday seasons. That we anchor our joy in something that is fleeting. Like what? Like this. No, I don't have any joy. If our whole family can't be together, I don't have any joy. I lose my joy when everyone can't be there. I lose my joy when I don't get the gift that I wanted, or maybe the quantity of gifts that I wanted. Oh, this is a small Christmas. Maybe I lose my joy in something as simple as Bing got it wrong. It's not going to be a white Christmas. Get ready. This Christmas may not be white. Oh, but you don't believe. Well, listen, we aren't to root our joy in those things which we have zero control over. And guess what? We don't have control over much. Jesus, in his teaching here, is saying your joy is going to be attacked. Blessed are you when people hate you, your joy is going to be attacked. When people hate you, when you realize that people hate you, your joy will be attacked. When they exclude you, your joy is going to be attacked. When they revile and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man, Jesus says you are to rejoice in that day. When this experience, when this accompanying temptation to attach our joy to that which is fleeting comes, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Now, in order to do that, in order to even understand what Jesus is talking about here, we have to go back to what Peyton read for us in chapter 2. So turn back to chapter 2, verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Fear not. Fear would be in the category of weeping and sadness and hurt. It's interesting that we often live our lives in fear, but nobody wants it. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, "Today I long to fear." No, it's something we try to avoid, and yet we seem caught in its grasp, right? Because our joy has been attacked. And we have succumbed to the temptation to attach our joy to that which is fleeting. How I'm treated, what I experience, what people say, what people do. Fear is similar to the weeping that Jesus preaches about. And it needs to be counteracted with something that's powerful, with something that's loving, secure, with something that is eternal. We read here that it is joy. That thing is joy, that thing which counteracts the fear. And obviously from our text, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." What is that joy? It's not found in circumstances. Joy is not rooted or anchored to a feeling. Joy is a person. And he is the one spoken of in verse 11. A Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord. His name is Jesus. Christ means Messiah. It's the Greek word for the anointed one. So, a Savior who is Jesus, the anointed one, he is the Lord. There's an exclusivity here. You're not going to find joy in anyone else. He is Christ, the Lord, not an angel, not a special messenger. The idea here is Jesus is Lord God. And as God, he's over all, he's able to deal with all the problems that we've mentioned thus far and that he will continue to mention in his messages. The weeping, the pain, the hatred, the exclusion, all of that. Jesus is Lord, so he is able to address all of that. What we find incredibly amazing here is that verse 11 begins with that word born. So Jesus Christ the Lord was born. A human baby is born. Here we have the union of perfect God and perfect man, fully God, fully man, but a man born by a woman so that he could bear the sins of the human race and die in their place. Born as a man so he could die as a man. But die not as a man like you and me, who is captured by sin, but die as a man who was perfect, who was tempted in all points as we are and yet without sin. So this Jesus would be the source of joy. He is the source of the angel's message, not because of the cuteness of a baby, but because of who he was and why he came. Now, I want us to see one more passage in relation to this. If you would, turn over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 15. And I want us to read the words from the baby himself. Obviously, Jesus, born as a baby, didn't stay a baby. That's how a lot of people view Jesus. They pack up their nativity scene after Christmas, and that's how Jesus stays. He's just a baby that's packed up and put away until next year. But the Bible teaches that Jesus grew, and he grew into a man. And here is what this man says, verse 9 of John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, Jesus is speaking, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Now get what he says here. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. Why? That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Here's his point. This joy that is given because Jesus is the source of the joy. The joy given is Jesus himself. And it is the same joy which he knows and which he abides in. And so if Jesus gives himself for us, this is why we often say we walk in Christ's likeness. It's something that Jesus taught. You're not going to know joy apart from him. You'll know some false joy, some masqueraded joy, but that quickly leaves. What we have to understand about this joy of Jesus, I've shared this with you before. This joy is inextinguishable. If Jesus is the source of our joy and Jesus is eternal, if Jesus is the perfect God-man, this joy is inextinguishable. You can't put it out because it is fueled by God himself. This joy is also irrepressible. You can't hold it in because it is meant to be shared. We saw it here. Jesus wants his joy to be ours. This joy is meant to be shared. It's irrepressible. And this joy is also inexhaustible. You can never run out of it because it is rooted in the eternal Son of God. So, back to the Sermon on the Plain. Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Jesus says here, blessed are you who learn to rejoice in the day of difficulty and leap for joy. Blessed are you who learn to rejoice in the day of difficulty and leap for joy. Now think back in our series. That blessing is in some ways, it is a pronouncement of happiness. Happiness in what? Happiness in light of the believer's future. So to bless someone is to speak well of them and to speak grace into their life. So here's what it would sound like today. It would be this. Wow. How happy you must be because of God's eternal love for you. It's an exclamation. Wow. Do you understand what God has done for you? That's the idea of blessed in all of these Beatitudes. You are happy. Why? Because of Jesus. Because his joy is yours now for all of eternity. Friends, if you are born again, If you have been adopted into the family of God, part of God's family, because you've admitted, I'm a sinner, a helpless sinner, if someone doesn't intervene. And you've confessed your need for a Savior and have believed by faith that Jesus is that Savior, then there is an opportunity for you this Christmas to bless those around you just as Jesus does in his sermon. This blessing, blessed are you, is to be shared. In other words, your blessing, your happiness, because of Christ, is to be acted upon. Your blessing that is anchored in Christ is to be acted upon. The joy of Christ is to be shared. Now, let me give you two very practical ways to do that this Christmas, and then our kids are going to come back up and sing. Now, two practical ways that joy can re-enter your family this Christmas. Number one, I would say this. Take the time to bless your family. Take the time to bless your family. We read in this Sermon on the Plain, and Jesus is saying, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. Take the time to bless your family. You say, what are you talking about here? In Hebrews 11, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. You don't have to go out and get a staff, okay? However, there is a pattern that is set here in Scripture to be a blessing to your family. You say, what does this look like? It means setting aside time this Christmas to share the happiness of Christ with your kids and with your grandkids and with the church kids and with the kids that you come in contact with. To share the joy of Christ. Read with them. Sit with them. Take the time to speak into their lives and express your faith in Christ and your love and your commitment to them. You see, the blessing in the Scriptures is a spiritual tool. As Jesus is speaking, he is modeling a spiritual tool. How encouraged do you think those who are excluded are when Jesus says, blessed are you when you are excluded? There's more to teach here, but he is speaking blessing. Blessedness. He is speaking joy into them. I see you. I know you. I understand you. I'm for you. I'm with you. All of that included there. Friends, we have that opportunity with our kids and grandkids and the kids at Wausau Bible Church. We have this wonderful opportunity to take the time to bless those around us. Are you giving your children and your grandchildren hope? Do they know you love them? Do they know you love Jesus? It can't be communicated by the providing of things. Another present, another toy doesn't communicate the joy of Jesus. Kids right now, they're saying, no, don't say that. I'm going to get them the presents, fine. But make sure that it's not the presents that's the focal point. Make sure that that gift is given in the love and with the care and with the concern, the touch of Jesus. Now, this blessing can only be given by spending time worshiping with your children, by telling them of your love for him and them, and how important they are to you and to God. I have heard from countless men who have communicated to me that they could not remember, couldn't recall their father ever touching them even once or speaking approvingly to them ever. I have talked to numerous women who never knew the love that her parents had for her or the simple happiness that Jesus could bring to a home. You will not have your children long. You will not have your grandchildren long. They'll be out of the house all too soon. So bless them now. Hold them while you can. Our lives are a vapor. Our lives are disappearing. Your kids and your grandkids' lives are disappearing as well. Take the time this Christmas to sit down with them, to speak your blessing into their lives. Blessed are you. Happy you will be. Joy you will know when you know Christ. That's number one. Take time to bless your family. That is how joy can re-enter your home this Christmas, by taking that time. Do you see how our world wants to crowd that out? Do you see how your schedule wants to crowd that out? Do you see how even our misguided allegiances want to guide that out? Traditions want to push it out. Schedules want to push it out. Focus wants to push it out. Take time this Christmas to bless your family. Number two, as you do that, take time to teach them. Take time to teach them. Love the message given to us in Deuteronomy 6. How do you summarize Deuteronomy 6? Anywhere, everywhere, at all times, teach them God. Show them God. God is eternal. God is what is important. Christmas is a wonderful time to teach our kids the values that they will need to persevere for Him in this life. Jesus persevered. When did it begin? At the incarnation. When in the Father's plan, Jesus said, "I will go." And from the majesty and glories of heaven, He became man. Jesus learned perseverance as He trusted in the Father. Speak truth into your kids' lives. It's far more valuable than one more toy or one more copy of the latest fashion, which will be discarded in just a few months. Don't worry, it'll come back in about 10, 15 years. But real value that is impressed upon young lives doesn't wear out and get discarded. The Christmas season is a golden opportunity to share something with your kids that is far, far more important than material things. Your own joy in the Lord. Teach them your own joy in the Lord. That is a blessing. Take time to teach them Jesus and watch the blessing of joy come into your own heart as you do that, and maybe even back into your home. As God in human flesh, Jesus Christ is unique in all the world. He alone qualifies to be Savior. If you are here this morning and you doubt the uniqueness of Jesus, he was just another guy. He was a really good teacher. There's a lot of really good teachers. If you doubt the uniqueness of Jesus, I would invite you to read the gospel accounts with a willing and believing heart. saying, God, show me truth. And what you will discover from Jesus' own words is that he can be nothing other than the hope of all mankind. He is the Savior who has come, and with him comes great joy. That alone makes the news that he brings good. And that will be the source of your only true joy this Christmas season and all year round. Joy. It is lost in this world when we lose sight of Jesus. He is our joy. Let's teach the next generation and encourage our own souls at the same time by blessing them with the good news of Christ. And may Jesus Christ be praised. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you for your kindness to us. Thank you for sending Jesus in the perfect time. And thank you for the adoption into your family that we can all have as we call upon you to be saved. I thank you for the gift of Christ and the joy that comes. Would you encourage us to see Christmas for what it really is? In Jesus' name, we even pray these things. Amen.